The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Never, Lord." He said, "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom." This is the Gospel of our Lord. Let us begin with a little imagination today. Everyone, close your eyes. Breathe slowly. Feel the air go in and out of your lungs, in and out, in and out. Keep your eyes closed now. Remember or imagine a time when a friend or yourself might have struggled to breathe, whether it be asthma, a panic attack, or any other kind of suffering. Imagine how hard it is to get the air in and out. Now, imagine a friend or a person standing next to you, coaching you, helping you, keeping you calm in your suffering to make it through. You can open your eyes. I had asthma as a child. It was terrifying trying to be able to get the air in and out. My mom would have to stand next to me to ease my panic as I was struggling to breathe and wait for the inhaler to do its job. When listening to the gospel today, we hear suffering. It is found in the descriptions of the cross. There's a major shift happening in the gospel. This place in Matthew is a turning point. It's when Peter, like many of us, begin to argue with Jesus that he should not be crucified. Last week, we heard how Peter was the rock. This week, he is breathless, denying the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, heading to Jerusalem and ultimately the cross. "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." Imagine how Peter must have felt. Jesus had begun to explain that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and on the third day raised. I can almost envision Peter stumbling in shock, not able to get the air in. Peter hears these predictions, but like many of us, goes from being the rock to being in great denial at the face of possible suffering for his teacher. When Peter refuses to face the future of Christ's suffering and dying, it is in temptation. Temptation in thinking that Christ would deny the cup which would soon be given to him through God. Peter's fighting back was extremely important because at that time, just like today, no one would even think to argue with their teacher. It was a clear social problem to do so. Peter, of course, is trying to defend Jesus. He does not want to see him put to death. His words are strong. Jesus' words are even stronger. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block." Peter's thoughts are on human things and not on divine things. Just as if we would today, calling someone Satan was pretty serious. This was a very graphic and strong term that Jesus was using for Peter. I could only imagine today if teachers began calling their students Satan. This wasn't common then either. Jesus is making a statement in the gospel. If any want to be my followers, let them deny them and follow me. Those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who will lose their life for my sake will find it. He is teaching that his followers must take up their own crosses. This is a huge reversal of expectations. After all, I don't know anyone who feels that suffering on a cross is nice. That's not a new statement at the time, however. In leadership, it was a tradition in Israel for the leader to say, "Take up your sword and follow me." You may remember in movies or in stories, people saying things like, "You may lose your life in battle, but you will gain glory and honor in killing your enemies." Jesus' explanation to the disciples has a tone of a teacher with love. It is a description of the cost of discipleship given with compassion on one hand, and the other, a simple statement of facts. This statement from Jesus is describing our daily vocation as Christians. We constantly exercise our baptismal calling in our voting and other civic responsibilities, work, at home, at school, and so much more. Today, individuals very often boast about the mighty deeds that they perform out in the world. Work is a huge part of our lives. The question is, how do we live out our baptismal calling in the world? We should continually ask if our daily lives are lived for the Lord. Not often do we connect our lives here on Sunday with the world outside during the week. The issue is, when we do not connect the two, eventually the labor here in the congregation is lost. Our vocation is one theme, not one theme. It is a vocation of living faith, drawn into worship to confess disappointments, confusions, failures, suffering. Having our sense of call be clarified, we come to worship to be commissioned and sent out again into the world by God. Therefore, we should continually say that we are actually God's respiratory system, being fed in the congregation spiritually by our Lord, among our family of believers, and then strengthened and sent back out into the world to spread the strength and great news and all that comes with it in our daily lives. Then back in for our time of rejuvenation here with our family. We must also remember that the text speaks of Peter taking Jesus by the arm. The Greek word that is used for took literally means that he physically took Jesus by the arm. This meant that they were close. This precious lesson is very important for us to remember. In our suffering, when it gets hard for us to breathe, Jesus is by our side coaching us, helping us through those moments. So let us take up our crosses and indeed remember to go out into the world and back into the church, fed with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and then back out into the world to serve strong and vibrant. For God is the coach, standing by our sides, helping us to breathe when the struggles are hard in both the good and the bad days. Will you please pray with me? Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us strength to go out with good courage, not knowing whether we will go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith together by using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,